This is the Quality News Network. Terror alert levels have been raised to red for the first time for air traffic between the UK and US. A terror plot was unveiled today in Britain to simultaneously blow up 10 US-bound jets over the Atlantic using liquid explosives brought aboard in carry-on luggage. 24 British citizens, many of them of Pakistani descent, were arrested in Great Britain. More are expected. Authorities say the plot was in its final planning stages and was close to being operational. The targeted airlines were American, United, and Continental. All U.S. airlines are banning any liquids, lotions, or gels from being brought on board by carry-on, including shampoo and toothpaste. The exceptions are baby formula and essential medicines. Israel will delay escalation of its ground war in southern Lebanon to allow more time for the UN Security Council to agree on a resolution resolving the crisis. U.S. Ambassador John Bolton says a vote may come as soon as tomorrow. The UN says it is still being denied safe passage to enter southern Lebanon with humanitarian aid. Hospitals are running out of food, medicine, and fuel. In Iraq, 35 people were killed and nearly 100 wounded by a suicide bomber near a Shia shrine in the southern city of Najaf. The U.S. military announced that three more GIs were killed yesterday in fighting in the Anbar province. In Afghanistan, two people were killed today in a roadside bombing in Jalalabad during a U.S. general's visit to an American base. Yesterday, two Afghan soldiers were killed and three were wounded. A U.S. sailor from Oregon has been charged with espionage and is facing a court-martial. The Navy says the 21-year-old petty officer stole a laptop containing classified information and tried to sell it to foreign governments. In Florida, the Department of Transportation reports a laptop computer containing personal information was stolen late last month from a parked government vehicle. The data concerns more than 133,000 Floridians. In the Netherlands, police have arrested a Rwandan immigrant and charged him with war crimes and torture for his alleged role in the 1994 Rwanda genocide. He will be tried in The Hague and faces life in prison if convicted. More than 1.5 million Chinese have been forced from their homes because of the strongest typhoon to threaten China in 50 years. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next. It's 2.5 minutes past the hour.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
BP says it will cost $100 million to repair the corroded pipeline shut down this week. BP posted a net profit of $7.3 billion in the last fiscal quarter. Alaska's governor is launching an investigation suggesting the oil giant misled the state with maintenance reports, even though a thorough examination of the pipe had not been done in more than a decade. The government reports America's trade deficit improved slightly in June as record sales of farm products and other exports blunted the impact of soaring oil prices. First-time claims for state unemployment benefits rose by 7,000 last week to 319,000. Russian President Vladimir Putin is ordering a government inventory of all of Russia's museums following the theft of $5 million worth of artwork from the State Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg. Kaiser Permanente, the nation's largest HMO, will pay a fine of $2 million. California state regulators found its kidney transplant program imperiled hundreds of patients. Light sweet crude traded today for $74 a barrel. Gold was $647.30 an ounce. Near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was up about 48 points. The NASDAQ was up 11. The S&P 500 was up 6. You can find more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, me strike.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' gains, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
You're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program for this Thursday afternoon here on the eastern coast of the United States and all points west and east of here. Glad to be back with you today, and oh my gosh, woo! Yes, I'm so glad to be back with you today. You know, I love doing radio. I absolutely love it, and I absolutely love having a conversation with you guys, depending on whatever you want to talk about. Now, today, the title of our show post is Thursday Potpourri, because yesterday we had some internet trouble. Apparently, one of the internet tubes that Senator Ted Stevens talks about, one of those tubes. Well, it apparently got broken or something. I don't know. Either way, apparently. We're all back up and everything is running at top speed today. The internets are humming right along. Again, my name is Bruce Birch. I'm your host for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. I just wanted to, before I get going too far, again, you know, I've been doing this pretty much all week that I've had the opportunity to do that, is to push a little bit on getting you to, if you can spare it, to help our good friend Ben Birch over at White Rose Society for, you know, helping him with his fundraising drive. He could really use it. He's at a place where a little bit would push him over the top. So if you get a chance and you have the extra cash, or if you don't have the extra cash and you want to do without a latte or whatever, you know, your pleasure is of the week, drop $4 or $5, $10, $20 his way. He could certainly use it. If you want to avail yourself of the entire online experience of the Bruce Birch Radio Program and also all the other programs on the Head On Radio Network, you can go to our chat room, which is located at headonradionetwork.com, headonradionetwork.com. Look on the left-hand side. There's a little chat button. Click it. Get in there. There's a bunch of people hanging out this afternoon talking long stuff. That's right. But I just, you know, in the middle of all the preparation yesterday, you know, I was apparently, you know, it just wasn't meant to be. But I had these interesting little tidbits, cuts from Lieberman. Yes, that's right. Sore loser man. You know, I watched this, you know, and I just got done right before the show today. I watched the little clip on YouTube from The Daily Show where they are, you know, talking about the Lieberman loss. And one of the things that they said that just tickled the crap out of me, it was funny as hell, is, you know, Samantha Bee comes up and says, yes, that's right, and if he loses this November, he's going to start his own Senate and become his own majority leader. Independent Senate. Anyway, I just, yeah, if you are interested in looking at the video from The Daily Show, it's on rawstory.com. Now, also today, apparently, And we're going to talk about this a little bit today. The Bush administration has drafted amendments to the War Crimes Act that would retroactively protect policymakers like Alberto González, El Torturador, that would retroactively protect policymakers from possible criminal charges for authorizing any humiliating and degrading treatment of detainees. Now, we'll get into this a little bit. I can't help but think that, you know, they're seeing the handwriting on the wall. The handwriting is on the wall, Georgie. It's on the wall, and it looks like it's pointing toward possible arrest. Let's have an investigation. I think that I haven't had a chance to get on there and talk about what I thought about what happened on Tuesday. So today is I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to talk about war crime protections. I'm going to talk about Alberto González. We're going to talk about all kinds of neat stuff today. The stuff that just, you know, enrages us. And we'll look at some solutions. We'll look at some of those congressmen who are looking down the road and deciding what they think they should do when they have, not if, I didn't say if, when they have the mantle of power. So, you know, what we're looking at today is sort of a cornucopia, if you will, of some stories. I've got a lot of different little things to take a look at. There's been this supposed terrorist plot in London. Bush is using the term Islamic fascists. Islamic fascists. He is, dumber than dirt and wouldn't know a fascist if he saw one in the mirror. Wait a minute. Yeah, he would. He would see himself, wouldn't he? Okay, so, all right, we're going to take a look at all those different things now. Again, if you want to call in today, we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Telephone number is 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. That's BURCH.com. Now, I also have, as an aside, our good friend Gene from Oregon, he is our head-on headlines news ninja. Hi-ya! And what he does is he'll get on our blog there at headonradionetwork.com, and he puts up all the show posts every day, and he also has his own area, head-on headlines. If you go to our website, you can go, it's an upper left-hand corner, a little link there to our head-on headlines. Now, he also does that, but today in addition to all that, I have a blog as well. It's at brucebirch.com. You can go in, and if you want to comment in any of those places, you know, that's available to you. One of the things that we've tried to do here on the Head On Radio Network is make sure that we have as many outlets as possible, including even a forum that is available on our homepage or from our homepage. So that if you have an idea, if you have a thought, if you have, if you just want to rant, you have the opportunity to do so. Not only can you do it on the phone, you can do it via email, you can do it via blog, you can do it via forum, you can do it via chat room. All kinds of ways for you to interact with our programming and with our hosts and with other people, other folks just like you who believe in the American spirit, which was built on dissent and was built on the ability to be able to speak your mind in such a free fashion so that there is no restriction on what you believe and no restriction on what you want to say. And that's the premise of the Head On Radio Network. Free speech phone lines, 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4. Head On. It'll get you into the studios where our good friend and able and professional producer, Zach, will pick up the phone and get you on the air with me. We're going to take a quick break, and then once we're back, we'll get into the meat of the program. It's good to be back with you again today. This is Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to NAJA.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4, and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers, so that becomes an 8, too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 19 minutes past the hour, and since our phone lines have lit up already, let's head right over to line one. Our free speech phone line is 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, head on. Joining us is our good friend Jim. Jim, how are you today, my friend?
Okay, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good, good. I can either rant, rave, root, romp, and stomp. Which would you prefer?
well, if you stomp, that's a little bit more physical activity than is required on the radio. How about a good rant?
Okay, I'll tell you what. You know, when I woke up this morning at 0:30 and cut on MSNBC, I saw the news out of Heathrow and Croydon airports, and I said, And, you know, throughout the day, I've just been sort of thinking out loud. As we approach the election season in this country, and I guess Lieberman's debacle up there kind of began it, you know?
Yes.
all of a sudden, these things start to happen, which not only foster but enhance a climate of fear.
Yes.
And I just said, you know, this is sort of coincidental to something, or is this a coincidence, or is it, or is there something more? I'm just asking myself that question all day. You know, because it's really in their best interest to have something like this going on, because in my opinion, the Bush administration and the neocons and Al-Qaeda and all of the fears that surround their activities, they sort of feed off one another. You know, there's a symbiosis here.
Well,
one keeps the other going. They keep each other in business.
Well, just as an aside, Jim, Joe Lieberman today told voters that the Iraq position held by his challenger, held by the one who beat him in the primary,
the guy who whipped his ass,
precisely, could lead to more terror attacks. And I quote, "If we pick up like Ned Lamont wants us to do," that doesn't work very well. I quote, "If we just pick up like Ned Lamont wants us to do, get out by a date certain, it will be taken as a tremendous victory by the same people who wanted to blow up these planes in this plot hatched in England."
Well, you know something. Lieberman and a lot of some of our friends, and I don't mean any disrespect toward anyone, and no one, okay, Bruce, is more sympathetic than yours truly, than I.
Okay.
With the cause of Israel and what they've been through as a people, okay? I think you know that.
Sure. Go ahead.
I mean, you know, I think my past utterings on your show have indicated my sympathy for what the Jews went through during the Second World War. Well, actually, from 15 mm-hmm. September 1935 until the end of the war, from the Nuremberg Laws to the end of World War II. However, I do believe there's a flavor of Zionism here. And it's just a problem that this country has in giving Israel a blank check. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We've given them our credit card. And Lieberman is very much Jewish. And, you know, a lot of these people are keeping this thing going. And I really believe that we have this one-sided approach to the Arab-Israeli situation. And I don't want to get off on that tangent. But, you know, I have my feelings for the Arabs, too. I mean, if I'd been living somewhere for 2,000 years and somebody came in and told me to get the hell off my property that I've had for 2,000 years and 20 to 40 generations, I'd be kind of upset.
I imagine I would be as well.
I mean, I just can't help but believe that, and I would like to believe in the good of Israel, and, you know, and there, I want to see them continue to exist as a nation as they have before, but, you know, I want to see them be treated equally and not with preference. That's my position there. And you
well,
know.
I think it's that there's definitely, you know, we have taken a side, and more pronounced probably now than we ever have in the past. I know in the past there's always been an overt like Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, et cetera, tried to at least appear to remain somewhat neutral and would try to bring the two sides together to try to work it out. Well, Bush isn't even trying. I mean, he's just like, yeah, I'll send Condi over there on one plane, and while she's flying over, there's a ship underneath her traveling with 500 bunker buster bombs right from Norfolk Naval Yards. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. But it's you know, so yeah, there is a certain amount of preference that there seems to have been taken, yes.
Well, you know, I consider the Bush administration to have been quite economical with one thing, and that's the truth.
Yep.
And I've got, you know, there's a saying here that I'll read to you. And it's the habitual use of trickery is proof of meager wit. And almost always, the man who employs it to conceal himself in one direction exposes himself in another.
To conceal himself in one direction exposes himself in another.
That's it. Our good old friend La Rochefoucauld, who lived during the reign of Louis XIV, and that maxim still is very relevant today, I feel. Actually.
Well, it seems to be very apropos.
You know, honestly and truly, I'm getting to the point that I don't believe anything that anybody tells me anymore that's coming out of the White House or any of these people. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I mean, you know, talk about Gefluffelgang. I'm way up there. I'm way ahead of you. I'm going back in the Marana sphere again.
Well, and you know, Jim, you are not. I mean, you know, yeah, you're definitely a liberal guy, okay? But you're not. What you're saying right now is not anything that hasn't been said all the way across the political spectrum, from Pat Buchanan to Lyndon LaRouche. This guy has worn out his welcome pretty much entirely, and the voters are fed up with him. The populace has had it. There's been more and more polling coming out. Matter of fact, there was a poll that came out today that I read. There was of white males across the South now have over 13%. A huge change. They're fed up with Bush and his policies. They think that where at one time they looked at him like, you know, well, he's just like us. Well, now they're realizing that he ain't just like them. Okay, so they're abandoning him too. I mean, it's really gotten quite sad. I really, of course, I'm kind of happy to see this happen, because the less, you know, that so-called political capital that he supposedly won when he stole Ohio,
right?
You know. Mm-hmm. Has now become completely irrelevant. I mean, but the thing about it too, Jim, is to remember that these folks, these neocons who are in power right now are going. They have an agenda, and they're going to accomplish that agenda regardless of what the polls say, regardless of, you know, how much the Democrats beat their chests, you know, and play a good game. I mean, they. The thing about, for instance, this retroactive war crime protection that I mentioned in the last segment.
Now that is a piece of work, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, see, this is, and we're going to see more of this because they're beginning to see now that they're not going to make it out of this 4-year term without having a check and balance in government. So they thought that if they tried hard enough, that they'd be able to get through an 8-year term with having a full Republican. A majority in all the houses of government, and it looks like that may not happen. Matter of fact, I'm not going to say guarantee it, because that has yet to be seen. But the national mood is that these guys, these bums, are going to get thrown out on their asses, and
hope so.
And we will have a check and balance back in government to be able to hold these guys accountable. That's the only reason that I can think of that they would be putting some sort of draft together like this. Would be that they realize that their time is up, and now they're focusing on CYA. You know what I'm saying? They're focusing on how can they cover their trail before the veritable kerfuckle hits the fan.
Well, you know, I would suggest that they follow the plans of what Batista did in 58 or whenever it was, when he all of a sudden had to leave town New Year's Eve. You know, they might have a better chance of getting out that way. Or to pull some of the stuff they did in Berlin in April of 1945. Or, you know, and when you come around to, and that's, I hate the fact that I say, you know, I say it about 50 times and I try not to say that. But as far as I'm concerned, if this happens, you won't be able to find anybody who will admit to have been a Republican. Kind of like in Italy when they wanted to know who was a fascist. Nobody was a fascist. Me? What? Me? Never.
And yet everyone was at one point. I mean,
sure.
You know, so, excuse me. And in this situation, you're gonna have the same issues. The problem is that, you know, or I shouldn't say the problem. It's going to be interesting to see. The very fact that they're looking at creating a law that would protect war crimes retroactively
that
says that they're guilty.
I'm
that
sorry, that just doesn't work, you know? I don't think
it says
so.
That they're admitting guilt, as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
that
of
is
course
an absolute
they are. And, you know, I don't know what type of legal mind these people have. But, I mean, you know, this isn't even good theater.
They've got El Torturador. They've got the torturer, man, Alberto Gonzalez, man.
Oh, he's, yeah, well, know, I mean, you know, but, yeah, but
the only
him.
Never sworn in.
You know, like I say, it's bad theater, and I've seen better acting in that movie, The Valley of the Dolls, than I have seen in this administration.
I've seen better acting in Debbie Does Dallas, but...
huh?
I said I've seen better acting in Debbie Does Dallas, but we're not going to talk about that.
Whoa! 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 Whoa!
All right. that was definitely a kerfluffle there.
No, that was a kerfluffle gonging. Oh God!
I got a sad song here, my friend. We're hitting the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
But, I definitely appreciate your call, Jim.
Well, I hope you do, and you take care and have a good program, and we'll talk to you later, and watch those beatings, Rugen. Tell Poochie to watch them out, okay?
I definitely will.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For calling. Talk to you soon. That's our good friend Jim in the Upper Moronosphere. This is the Bruce Burch Radio Program being broadcast on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back after this break.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Don't you just love all those Republicans pronouncing how sad it is that Joe Lieberman lost in the primary and how bad it is for the Democratic Party? First of all, since when have they been concerned at all about the fate of the Democratic Party? And secondly, no wonder they're grieving, since Lieberman had carried so much water for them over the years. No accident that Karl Rove and Dick Cheney called to offer condolences and even assistance in Lieberman's independent run. Oh, nothing sinister here at all. Never mind the fact that if Lieberman stays in the race, the Democrats will have to squander a lot of resources in Connecticut or respond to Lieberman's unfriendly fire that the Democrats have lurched dangerously leftward. Not content to let Lieberman make cheap shots, Cheney took aim, always a frightening thing. And Cheney shot low, saying that Lieberman's defeat helps, you guessed it, Al-Qaeda types. That's the only card they have in their deck, and they'll play it over and over and over again. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Down the dreams we made real.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Burks radio program. It's about 35 minutes past the hour here on the Head On Radio Network, where you can find liberal progressive programming pretty much all day, half the night, 12 noon to 10 p.m. on the eastern side of the United States, 9 until 7 p.m. on the western side of the United States, and all points in between and around and about and all over the place. So, yeah, check us out. Dr. Bill O'Brien, starting off at 12. Very learned individual, fantastic guy, followed by our good friend Mark Levine out of Washington, D.C., former constitutional lawyer for Radio Inside Scoop from 2 to 3, and then Guy James right in front of me, fantastic guy out of Florida. Myself, out of Greensboro, North Carolina, and then followed by Bob Kincaid out of the wild, wonderful mountains of West Virginia. So do check us all out if you get a chance. We are definitely a new breed of talk radio out there. We call it conversation radio. And, you know, if you want to get in on the show today, you can also do that. You can call 1-877-443-2366. Or 1-877, the number 4, Head On. Both of those will get you right into our studios. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. Now, I was talking a little bit earlier with Jim about this retroactive war crime protection proposal, and this was released today by the Associated Press. And let me tell you a little bit about this, because I think it's one of those things that's kind of important to know about. One section of the draft would outlaw torture and inhuman or cruel treatment, but it does not contain prohibitions from Article 3 of the Geneva Conventions against, quote, outrages upon personal dignity, in particular humiliating and degrading treatment, end quote. A copy of that section of the draft was obtained by the Associated Press. The White House, without elaboration, said in a statement that the bill, quote, will apply to any conduct by any U.S. personnel, whether committed before or after the law is enacted, end quote. Two attorneys said that the draft is in the revision stage, but that the administration seems intent on pushing forward the draft's major points in Congress after Labor Day. The two attorneys spoke on condition of anonymity because their sources did not authorize them to release the information. A third attorney, Eugene Fidel, president of the National Institute of Military Justice, says, quote, I think what this bill can do is, in effect, immunize past crimes. That's why it's so dangerous, end quote. He went on to say, quote, not just protection of political appointees, but also CIA personnel who led interrogations, end quote. A fourth attorney, Scott Horton, who has followed detainee issues very closely, said that the interrogation practices follow from policies that were formed at the highest levels of the administration. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to insulate policymakers under the War Crimes Act. And, of course, our good friend Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said, quote, Congress is aware of the dilemma we face and how to make sure the CIA and others are not unfairly prosecuted. Yeah, good old Lindsey Graham, right? You know, he's like, he does. There's not a good torture cell that's not a friend of his. You know, I imagine Lindsey engages in some interesting things. But he did say at the same time, Congress will not allow political appointees to waive the law. Well, you've allowed them to waive the law in every other circumstance. Why not here? Christ. All right, Larry Cox, Amnesty International USA's executive director, said that President Bush is looking to limit the War Crimes Act through legislation now that the Supreme Court has embraced Article 3 of the Geneva Conventions. In June, of course, the court ruled that Bush's plan to try Guantanamo Bay detainees in military tribunals violates Article 3. Now, having said all that, having said all that, there's also, you know, I mean, let's look at the architect. Who is the architect of torture? Who is the architect of the administration shying away from the Geneva Conventions? Who is the architect of the rendition that has been going on? Well, that would be none other than Alberto González, El Torturador. An August 2002 Justice Department memo was, quote, was vetted by a large number of officials, including the White House Counsel's Office and Vice President Dick Cheney's office. According to Newsweek, the memo was drafted after White House meetings convened by George W. Bush's chief counsel, Alberto González, with the Defense Department counsel, William Haynes, and David Addington. The memo included the opinion that laws prohibiting torture do not apply to the president's detention and interrogation of enemy combatants. The memo included the opinion that laws prohibiting torture do not apply to the president's detention and interrogation of enemy combatants. Further, the memo puts forth the opinion that the pain caused by an interrogation must include an injury such as death, organ failure, or serious impairment of bodily functions in order to constitute torture. Okay, so basically putting out cigarettes on somebody is okay, all right? Let's see. Waterboarding is okay. Okay. Electrocution while someone's standing in a bucket of water is okay, as long as it doesn't kill them or make their organs fail or make them stop being able to pee or spit. The memo puts forth the opinion that the pain caused by an interrogation must include, quote, injury such as death, organ failure, or serious impairment of body functions in order to constitute torture. You can burn their fingertips. Whatever you want to do, as long as it doesn't kill them, cause their organs to fail, or cause a serious impairment of their bodily functions. The methods outlined in the memo provoked concerns within the CIA about possible violation of the federal torture law, and also raised concerns at the FBI, where some agents knew of the techniques being used overseas on high-level Al-Qaeda officials. So there are plenty of people in government who said, wait a minute, this memo authorizing this torture probably isn't a great idea. Yeah, that's where it started. August 2002 Justice Department memo that was, pretty much drafted and written by Alberto González. Talking about war crimes. González also believes many Geneva Convention's provisions are obsolete. He said in a memo in January 25th, 2002, he said, quote, the war against terrorism is a new kind of war, and this new paradigm renders obsolete Geneva's strict limitations on questioning of enemy prisoners and renders quaint some of its provisions. Maybe the one on torture? Okay, the memo pushes to make Al-Qaeda and Taliban detainees exempt from the Geneva Convention's provisions on the proper legal treatment of prisoners. The administration has been adamant that prisoners at Guantanamo are not protected by the Geneva Conventions. And, of course, Alberto wrote that memo as well. The same memo, the January 25th, 2002 memo, also shows that Alberto El Torturador González was aware of the risk that ignoring the Geneva Conventions could create for the military. One concern expressed is that failing to apply the Geneva Conventions, quote, could undermine U.S. military culture, which emphasizes maintaining the highest standards of conduct in combat, and could introduce an element of uncertainty and the status of adversaries. He knew that by allowing certain behaviors in torturing these prisoners, that that would not only, he says, could undermine U.S. military culture. You know what that means? What that means is that what we're telling our soldiers, that it's okay to beat the crap out of your prisoners. It's okay to electrocute them. It's okay to put cigarettes out on them. It's okay to sick dogs on them. It's okay to beat them when they're naked and pile them up in pyramids. Indeed, that's exactly what happened at Abu Ghraib. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take a little bit more of an in-depth look at the war crimes of the Bush administration. This is Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here are some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or a printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
Homeland Security advisories are at the highest levels, so you and your family need to be prepared. Develop a family disaster plan and discuss it with your family. Plan how you'll stay in contact with each other and identify meeting places if you're separated. Designate a friend or relative outside of your neighborhood to contact if you can't return to your home. Go to www.floridadisaster.org for more information. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Broadcasters, and this radio station.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Thank you.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America, one that does not condone torture as a methods of interrogation. Yeah, that's right. That was the sound of me getting a little bit wound up and a little irked here. You know, we've been looking at the fact that the administration now wants to create a law that forgives everyone before and after the passing of the law from any kind of war crime that they may have committed, going up to the highest levels of government. The highest levels of government, including who? That's right. The torturer himself, Alberto Gonzalez. We were talking about Alberto Gonzalez when I went over to the break. Now, he knew that his views and his memos would probably undermine the standards of conduct in the military. And indeed, that's exactly what happened. And one could surmise from that that perhaps not only did he know that it might happen, but he may have even encouraged it. It's open field, boys. Y'all just go on and take care of whatever it is you got to do over there. Just go and get all that information y'all need. It don't matter. Y'all can go ahead and stub out your cigarettes on them, boys. Hell, they're just brown, folks. This Alberto Gonzalez guy. Of course, now you know that Secretary of State and former Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Colin Powell argued very much against taking that decision, as did lawyers from the Judge Advocate General Corps or the JAG. Apparently, a federal judge has recently ruled that President Bush had both overstepped his constitutional bounds and improperly brushed aside the Geneva Conventions. And you read these things and you think, this is not happening in the America that I know of. Aren't we supposed to be the shining city on the hill? Aren't we supposed to be the place that all the other nations look to try to create their own democracies? Then why do we have to force our democracy onto countries at the point of a gun? Why do we have to invade these places, take them hostage and torture them to find out information that we probably isn't true to start with because of the way we got it? It truly is amazing to me. It truly is amazing to me. And so we have this draft, this retroactive war crime protection. The move by the administration is the latest effort to deal with treatment of those taken into custody in the war on terror, and they're talking about authorizing humiliating and degrading treatment of detainees. Now, when the elections happen in November, we'll be looking back at this little law that's going to get slid through, probably. It's going to get slid through under the back door there. No front page press on this one, baby. And when it happens, and it passes Congress, and it's signed into law, and come November, when Democrats, or I should say January, when they're sworn into office, or whenever they're sworn into office, and the Democrats have subpoena power, and they shove James Sensenbrenner down to the cloakroom in the basement of the Capitol, hopefully with lots of duct tape, all of these outrages, these crimes against humanity, they'll be insulated. And John Conyers can subpoena whoever he wants to, and it ain't going to make a damn bit of difference because there will be a law in place that says, whoops, sorry, you can't do anything to me. Expect more of this, ladies and gentlemen. Expect more of this. If what they're doing is so legal, why do they have to pass a law insulating them from criminal charges? If what they are doing is so noble, then why do they have to pass a law to protect themselves from criminal charges for authorizing humiliating and degrading treatment of detainees. Because it's not. That's why. It's not honorable. It's not legal. It has no basis in any realistic way of treating prisoners. And the bottom line is that these folks, they're going to milk it. They're going to milk it, and you're going to end up bringing it more every day. Now, Lamont's victory Tuesday was a shot across the bow, and it sent fear running down George W. Bush's back. And you know why it sent fear down his back? Because he realized, wait a minute, all of that fear-mongering that I did isn't working anymore. What am I going to do? How can I convince these people? How can I convince them to be scared? Well, you know, it's true. It's absolutely true. That's their entire foreign policy is built on fear. It's built on exploitation of your base instinct of self-preservation. Okay? The entire Republican program is built on exploitation of the base instinct of your self-preservation. Wow, that's a mouthful, huh? They are exploiting your base need to feel safe. Well, you know what I say? The only thing to fear is fear itself. Hold your head up high and declare that you are proud. But you're not proud of what this government is doing. You're not proud of what this nation is doing or what they're doing in our name. But you are proud that this nation was once an amazing place and could once again be an amazing place. It's going to take some work, though. It's going to take a lot of pounding on doors and you know, wearing out shoes, walking the streets and walking your neighborhoods and talking to people and letting them know that this president is trying to create legislation to insulate himself from crimes he may have committed. And I'll guarantee you that there's other things in the pipeline we don't even know about yet. Well, I guarantee you for one thing that there will be a retroactive eavesdropping or wiretapping crime protection that'll come out. Maybe it'll be attached to this war crime protection. Time will tell. Well, and when we come back, we're going to take our top of the hour break and go over to the news. And when we come back, what we'll do is we'll take a look at some of the other stories or take your phone calls, whichever you prefer. Give me a call, 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right here in about 5 minutes. You listen to Bruce Birch on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Increased security is slowing air travel. For the first time, terror alert levels were raised to red for flights between the UK and US. A terror plot was unveiled today in Britain to simultaneously blow up 10 US-bound jets over the Atlantic using liquid explosives brought aboard on carry-on luggage. 24 British citizens, many of them of Pakistani descent, were arrested in Great Britain. Authorities say the plot was in its final planning stages and was close to being operational. The targeted airlines were American, United, and Continental. All U.S. airlines are banning any liquids, lotions, or gels from being brought aboard by carry-on, including shampoo and toothpaste. The exceptions are baby formula and essential medicines. In Beirut, Israel is dropping leaflets warning residents to evacuate. CNN reports a strike at the heart of the city hit a cell phone tower. Hezbollah fired more than 130 rockets into Israel today, killing two civilians. Israel is delaying escalation of its ground war to give the UN Security Council more time to work out a resolution resolving the crisis. A vote may come as soon as tomorrow. The UN says it's still being denied safe passage to enter southern Lebanon with humanitarian aid. Hospitals are running out of food, medicine, and fuel. In Iraq, 35 people were killed and nearly 100 wounded by a suicide bomb near a Shia shrine in the southern city of Najaf. In Afghanistan, two people were killed today in a roadside bombing in Jalalabad during a U.S. general's visit to an American base. A U.S. sailor from Oregon has been charged with espionage and is facing a court-martial. The Navy says the 21-year-old petty officer stole a laptop containing classified information and tried to sell it to foreign governments. In China, two are dead and 1.5 million Chinese have fled their homes as a fierce typhoon slammed into the southern coast. Officials say it's the strongest typhoon in 50 years. In Nigeria, two more foreign oil workers were kidnapped today. The Belgian and Moroccan joined two Ukrainians and two Norwegians abducted in Nigeria yesterday. Nigeria produces 8% of U.S. oil imports. The Statue of Liberty's crown, which has been off limits to tourists since 9/11, will be closed permanently. The National Park Service says letting people climb up the cramped spiral staircase is just too hazardous due to risks from fire and terrorism. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The government reports America's trade deficit improved slightly in June as record sales of farm products and other exports blunted the impact of soaring oil prices. Still, the $64.8 billion deficit is the fifth largest on record. Kaiser Permanente, the nation's largest HMO, will pay a fine of $2 million. California state regulators found its kidney transplant program imperiled hundreds of patients. Target and JCPenney beat Wall Street expectations, they say, because of increased sales of food and women's accessories. The companies also credit production of their own brand name clothing and household goods. President Vladimir Putin is ordering a government inventory of all of Russia's museums following the theft of $5 million worth of artwork from the State Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg. U.S. company computer maker Hewlett-Packard will add 2,000 jobs to its operations center in Costa Rica. The company says its goal is to employ 6,000 there by 2007. IBM has announced it's buying FileNet, a provider of business process and content management software. The deal is worth $1.6 billion. Light sweet crude settled today for $74.35 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was up 48 points at 11,124. The NASDAQ up 11 at 2071. The S&P 500 up 6 at 1271. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce Birch.
Any place you want to dream of, your soul.
Back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Sorry about that. I had a mishap here I had to deal with. You know, it always happens at the most inopportune moments. Annabelle Lund there, you know, who was on Quality News Network, stumbled across the room and crashed into the computer. Anyway, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. If you're just tuning in, glad to have you with us or with me today here on the Head On Radio Network. Now, if you want to avail yourself of the full online experience, you can go to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's blogs, there's forums, there's chat rooms, there's all kinds of stuff there that you can go and get involved in while we're doing the show. Now, during the break, I was reading some of the stuff in the chat room, and apparently the TSA, the Transportation Security Agency, has just gotten fantastically fascistic on what you can take onto an airplane. Apparently now you are no longer allowed to take liquids onto an airplane. That's right. No PERT. No VO. No Alberto VO5. Oh, the torturer VO5. No Alberto VO5. No nail clippers. And, you know, apparently, you know, as I say, when nail clippers are outlawed, only outlaws will have nail clippers. But okay, but now, so if you want to get in on the chat room, there's a bunch of folks in there hanging out. One thing that came up during the last bit of tirade that I was talking about with the retroactive war crimes protection, TSM in the chat room mentioned this idea. She says, somehow I don't think the world court will take that into consideration. And, you know, I totally agree with you. I don't think the world court is going to take a law passed by the United States in the United States Congress and signed by the president as being something that the world would recognize. As a matter of fact, I think they probably wouldn't recognize it. Now, this, of course, involves George Bush going out of the country and being arrested. How likely is that? I don't think it's going to be very likely. He is pretty much an insulated, very, very insulated fellow. Closing out that topic. Now, interesting article by Amitabh Pal, in the Progressive magazine today. She's writing that half of the population still believes in weapons of mass destruction. Now, we talked about this on this radio show several weeks ago. Okay. She read this in an AP story by Charles Hanley, an Associated Press story. Quote, do you believe in Iraqi WMD? Did Saddam Hussein, his government, have weapons of mass destruction in 2003? The story began. Half of America apparently still thinks so, a new poll finds, and experts see a raft of reasons why. A drumbeat of voices from talk radio, thank you, Rush, to diehard bloggers to the Oval Office, a surprise headline here or there, a rallying around a partisan flag, and a growing need for people in their own minds to justify the war in Iraq. This is beyond baffling. And wait, it gets worse. The 50% figure is actually a substantial increase from the 36% who believed in this myth last year and the 38% who believed it in 2004. At first glance, all this is very disheartening for those of us who have faith in the power of information to drive away falsehoods. Michael Massing, a media critic who has spent considerable effort analyzing media coverage of the Iraq War, says, "I'm flabbergasted. This finding just has to cause despair among those of us who hope for an informed public able to draw reasonable conclusions based on evidence." On the other hand, maybe this isn't so surprising. After all, in a poll last December, a full 61% of Americans said that they believed in the devil. 40% of Americans admitted that they had ghosts around them, while one-third even accepted the existence of UFOs. Maybe there's some overlap between these people and those who believe in those spectral WMDs. Seriously, though, let's start apportioning some blame for this. At the top of the list is the Bush administration. It has mouthed this nonsense of mushroom clouds and nuclear weapons so insistently that it is hard for its supporters to admit to themselves that the White House took them for a ride. The closest Condoleezza Rice has come to admitting, for instance, that she and her colleagues were wrong is to say that WMD were perhaps not present in Iraq. That's one hell of an admission. Next on the list are the Bush administration's foot soldiers in Congress. Senator Rick Santorum and Representative Pete Hoekstra triumphantly released a report recently that supposedly proved that 500 chemical munitions had been gathered in Iraq since the invasion. The only problem was that they were long degraded and unusable. And anyway, who pays attention to the likes of Santorum and Hoekstra? I mean, who takes them seriously? Of course, the Republican echo chamber in the right-wing media is also to blame for the mass delusion among half the American public. Fox News is the leading weapon of mass deception. As a poll famously revealed 3 years ago, 45% of Fox viewers believed that weapons of mass destruction had been found in Iraq and that Saddam had ties to Al-Qaeda and that global opinion supported Bush's Iraq invasion. An incredible 80% believed in at least one of these fibs. To top itself, as the AP story reveals, Fox had a recent headline, and I quote, "Are Saddam Hussein's WMDs now in Hezbollah's hands?" I give up. That's an article written by Amita Paul in the Progressive magazine. You can check that out by going to progressive.org. Very soon we will have a banner on our site that you can go through to go right to their website and check out the Progressive. We are building a partnership with them as we speak. All right. That's right. Weapons of mass destruction and destruction and all of that. We pull the covers on all that stuff here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want a liberal dose of truth, this is the place to get it. We're going to go ahead and take our break a little bit early. When we come back, we'll have whatever you want to have. We'll have phone calls. If you call them, we'll have them. 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, Head On. Email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. Be right back. Freaks and Harris, Dykes and Ferris, tell me where is sanity. Tax the rich, feed the poor, tell them.
Phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hello there, Bob!
Huh? Hello, Mr. Clampett. How are you, sir?
It's fine, sir. Y'all have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on this subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
We won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head on.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing@irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
I've seen you in the markets, I've seen you in the streets, and at your political conventions. Talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and ma. I've just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Syrians, because they're not Jews like him.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's almost 19 minutes past the hour. We're talking about a lot of different stuff today. I just finished an interesting article about weapons of mass destruction. Well, you know, I'd like to see a weapon of mass instruction, okay? A weapon of mass instruction rather than a weapon of mass destruction. Now, interesting article today. If you get a chance, now I'm not going to get into it here, but if you get a chance, go over to commondreams.org, and over there there's a really neat article by Eugene Jarecki, and it's called Truman Haunts Us, okay? And in the article, he talks about being criticized for allowing Gore Vidal to suggest on screen that the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki were intended as much to send a message of American nuclear primacy to Stalin as to compel unconditional Japanese surrender. And apparently, I've got to watch this this movie. It's called Why We Fight. I haven't yet seen it, but I do have a friend who's got a copy. He's going to let me borrow to watch it. No claim in the film has generated more controversy than Gore Vidal's assertion that the Japanese were trying to surrender all that summer, but Truman would not listen because Truman wanted to drop the bombs. Pretty amazing stuff. Go over there and read that article. And this is by the director of the film, Why We Fight, which has just been released on DVD. Yeah, amazing stuff. Well, you know, what is amazing to me is that, eventually the truth has a way of surfacing. Eventually the truth has a way of coming to light. We will find out. Although we pretty much know the truth, it's good to hear to read about the actual discussions that these people had, the Trumans and the Bushes, the Nixons, the Johnsons, the discussions that they had to shape their foreign policy. Now, in particular, George Bush, with the weapons of mass deception that never surfaced, has caused great consternation all across the nation, the blogosphere. And what we've found is that they have worked their butts off to try to milk this for as much as they can. Now, you know, all they had to do was get out there and say a couple of choice words, and the conspiracy theorists ran with it. Okay. Now, these conspiracy theorists on the right, though, are sort of authoritative. They're authoritarians. Okay, and they like being told what to do. They like being scared. They like acting out of fear. It gives them a kind of an adrenaline thing, you know. And, of course, you know, what day would be complete without Vice President Dark Lord Cheney commenting on what happened with the Lieberman loss? Vice President Dick Cheney has continued the Bush administration's push to characterize the primary loss of Senator Joe Lieberman as an indication that the Democratic Party is weakening on security issues. In a telephone conference late yesterday, Cheney praised Lieberman as a good man that the vice president has a good deal of respect for. Okay, well, there's the first thing, folks. First huge red flag. If Dick Cheney calls someone a good man, chances are he's a freak. And if he goes even further and says he has a good deal of respect for him, well, we know what's going on, right? Yeah, we do. We know what's happening. We know. Cheney apparently told reporters from Jackson, Wyoming, quote, "The thing that's partly disturbing about Lieberman's loss is the fact that our adversaries, if you will, in this conflict, the Al-Qaeda types, they clearly are betting on the proposition that they ultimately can break the will of the American people in terms of our ability to stay in the fight and complete the task." So creating terrorists, apparently faster than you can kill them, is having a strong security. We got a strong security, but we're creating a lot of terrorists more than we can kill. Cheney went on to claim that Lieberman had been pushed aside because of his willingness to support an aggressive posture on terror. Cheney says he has no intention of becoming involved in the campaign, and therefore the senator should not be expecting any help from the White House. Well, other than this interview, when reporters pressed Cheney on the point that Lieberman was just one of three incumbents to lose primary elections on Tuesday, the vice president outright rejected the notion that there was any anti-incumbent sentiment at work. Cheney went so far as to interrupt one reporter with a one-word answer, "No," before repeating the same answer when the reporter finished the question. No, 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 no! The vice president... I'm having too much fun here, folks. You can give me a call if you want. The vice president also indicated that the Iraq war is likely to affect Democrats more than Republicans in the upcoming elections, citing what he calls deep divisions within the party. We've got deep divisions within the party. I think there's a significant body of opinion that wants to go back to that sort of pre-11-9 mindset, that pre-9-11 mindset, the pre-9-11 mindset, the pre-9-11 mindset, the pre... Ah! Cheney then turned off the tape that was placed directly in the center of his chest. Cheney added, I think that there's a significant body of opinion that wants to go back to a sort of pre-9-11 mindset in terms of how we deal with the world we live in. Okay, pre-9-11 mindset. We try to work with people to work things out. And yes, there's going to be some wackos out there, and you know, the best thing that we can do is try to keep them marginalized as much as possible. Post-9-11 mindset, kill everyone that moves. Pre-9-11 mindset, well, we try to work within communities to try to raise all boats. Post-9-11 mindset, mow them down! Pre-9-11 mindset, well, you know, we've got an American foreign policy that relies very heavily on aid and financial aid to these countries. Post-9-11 mindset, blow them to kingdom come! Cheney concluded by adding that he feels significantly better about Republican prospects to remain control of Congress than he did months ago. The fix is in! That's right. Not only do we have Diebold, we've got ESNS. And the HAVA requirements, the Help Americans Vote Act, obviously required that many, many, many more communities turn over to the computerized, remote-controlled machines where you put your choice in and it goes, we want this one to win. Okay. Enough about Darth Cheney. I don't know why I shot the man in the face. He wasn't doing anything to me, but I really felt like it was time that I had to shoot somebody. I just felt I had to shoot somebody. Now, following that line of reasoning, again, you know, I mentioned earlier in the telephone call with our good friend Jim that the president, the decider, said today that the Islamic fascists were the ones who were going to attack using those planes in the United Kingdom. I will quote him, and I'll read you the paragraph where that is stated. The recent arrests that our fellow citizens are now learning about are a stark reminder that this nation is at war with Islamic fascists who will use any means to destroy those of us who love freedom to hurt our nation. I want to thank the government of Tony Blair and the officials in the United Kingdom for their good work in busting this plot. I thank the officials in Washington, D.C. and around our country who gather intelligence and who work to protect the American people. The cooperation on this venture was excellent. Cooperation between the U.K. and U.S. public relations, authorities and officials was solid, and the cooperation among agencies within our government was excellent. And then he goes off into his normal standard 9-11 speech, blah, 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 protection, blah, 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 America, America, blah, 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 travelers, blah, 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 inconvenience, blah, 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 shampoo, wait a minute, what's that? Vigilance, blah, 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 blah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we blah, 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 blah back, we'll take your phone calls and whatever else is going on here in front of me. This is Bruce Birch, and this is the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Did you hear them talking about it on the radio? Did you try on the wall? Did that voice inside your
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my Progressive Point of View, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Yes, Ned Lamont's victory over Joe Lieberman was a referendum on the Iraq War. It signals that Democrats will not abide by politicians who front for this war, especially in the shameless way that Lieberman did. But it also signals the death of the old guard of the Democratic Party, the demise of the DLC, and the internment of the pundits, the strategists, the $2,000 contributors who used to control the nominating process all by themselves. Now there are new powers on the scene, thank God, who are not beholden to big money and to the corporate interests behind it. I'm talking about MoveOn and the legions of small contributors it was able to marshal on the Internet. And I'm talking about an echo machine that progressives have finally managed to make work. From the blogs like Daily Kos to Sam Cedar and Randy Rhodes on Air America and to Ed Schultz and Stephanie Miller on their radio shows, you could hardly escape the anti-Lieberman message. It wouldn't have worked if it didn't resonate with people, so Lieberman has no one to blame but himself, but the machinery is now in place to defeat or elect candidates from a grassroots, netroots base. That's the real news of the Lieberman defeat. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program where even I like to say occasionally, blah, blah, blah. It's about 34 minutes past the hour, and we're going to go right back over to the phone lines. It appears that our good friend Jim is rejoining us after a break. Jim, what's up, man?
Hey, just a quick note here. I've seen that series, While We Fight. As a matter of fact, I have it. It's by Robert Capra, and he did it for the United States Army or the government. And it's a good propaganda tool back then. And as far as the decision to drop the bomb is concerned, there's a book entitled Racing for the Bomb by Robert Norris, and it's a biography of General Leslie Groves, who was the senior grade officer assigned to the Manhattan Project. And, you know, Bruce, we had spent $2 billion to make that bomb. I mean, we built whole cities in, like, Tennessee and in parts of, like Hanford, Washington, just to get the weapons-grade uranium. And having had spent all that money on this thing, once they had managed to cobble this thing together, the military was aching to use it, largely because they wanted to see what effects it would have on a city. And they had, well, first Tokyo was selected, and they said, no, we can't do that, and because it's where the emperor is, and then they selected another city, and so there were too many Shinto shrines there, and so finally they used Hiroshima and Nagasaki because they were virtually untouched. They had not been really carpet bombed the way Tokyo and some of the larger cities had been during the war. And these were reasonably intact. And, of course, they wanted to see what effect it would have on a city with an estuary like, you know, like Hiroshima had, a river mouth. And the scientists who put it together had signed a petition. And they even went to see Jimmy Burns at his home in Spartanburg, South Carolina, who was Roosevelt's Secretary of State. And, you know, Szilard and some of the others said, we don't want you to do this. I mean, you know, you're going to let this genie out of the bottle. You're not going to be able to put him back in there again. And, of course, Roosevelt passed away in April of 45. And when Truman became president, he didn't even know anything about the Manhattan Project. And he was pretty much of a snap judgment individual. And he was basically led to believe by his military people and by Jimmy Burns that it would be a good thing to get Stalin's attention with. So the desire to test a weapon out on a city and to make good the investment of $2 billion of the American taxpayers' money, plus the political effect it would have on the Russians, who were already beginning to make ugly noise in Eastern Europe, were serious factors in the decision to use these weapons. And I think you'll find that book about Groves pretty interesting reading if you can find it.
I will definitely take a look, you know, look into that. The movie Why We Fight that I was referring to was actually made last year.
That's what now? Made last
movie
year?
Yeah, this particular one was made last year by a guy named Eugene Jarecki.
Okay. Well, see, there were a series of war propaganda films that were put together by Robert Capra.
The 30th director, and by the same title. I'm sure that he used this title because this is very much anti-war. This is, you know.
Well,
so, but
this would take the exact opposite view because these were made, you know, to demonstrate our reasons for being in the war and things of that nature. But the Japanese had made serious efforts to come to some type of an agreement because they knew that, you know, eventually the end was going to be up. And however, things didn't work out that way, and I'm not exactly sure what the machinations were in the Japanese cabinet because there were shakeups and things like that, but, history did not allow them to go on escape as far as that bomb was concerned. And let's face it, Bruce, when we spent $2 billion on something, how could you spend that much money in 1945? Can you imagine how much money that's worth today?
Oh, God, I can't even begin.
And not use it. And plus, there is the fact that, you know, of course, it would have saved the lives of about 1 million soldiers because to invade the Japanese home islands would have taken, well, it would have been a lot worse than D-Day, I can assure you of that. So there were a lot of factors that went into it.
Well, I definitely appreciate that information, my friend.
And of course, the odd thing about it is the Russians had inside men in Alamogordo and where they were developing the thing, Klaus Fuchs and people like that. And when Truman mentioned it to Stalin at one of the peace conferences at, I think it was Potsdam, Stalin didn't even, you know, break his stride. He knew about it. He was well aware of it. He had already assigned one of his chief henchman, Lavrenty Beria, to get going on their own atomic bomb project. So that's just my little drop of knowledge there, and I thought I'd share it with you, if you don't mind.
Well, I definitely appreciate it. I definitely appreciate it.
Okay.
Knowledge is a good thing.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, Jim.
All right.
Good afternoon. All right. That's our good friend Jim, who is calling us back to talk about the whole Why We Fight situation. Now, I think it's important to learn history. I mean, and that's one of the things that I do definitely appreciate about Jim, is that he always brings a sense of history to the program. And, because we've seen behavior like George Bush's before. We've seen behavior like Karl Rove's before, and in the name of Goebbels, we've seen some of these tactics where you were sort of led down the garden path and expected to draw a conclusion. Well, you know, as I like to say, you know, there are certain ways that decisions can be formed. You're led down the garden path, and you can pretty much guarantee what the results will be, given the right amount of information. Here in this nation, there are many, many bloodthirsty people. I'm not one of those people. And, you know, and it's a damn shame that we have so many who are so willing to go to war so quickly without any sort of, you know, provocation. And so, you know, I think it's time. I think it's time, and I believe, you know, I can almost feel it. Now, I'm not going to make any premonitions or predictions or any of that kind of stuff, but I think it's time. I think the American people, at least the majority of the populace, not the bloodthirsty ones, those people will always want war, but the ones who have a good head on their shoulders, they're waking up. They're beginning to see the inevitability that this president is going to leave power, and, well, he was wrong, and, well, we need to fix what happened. It may take a while. Matter of fact, it may take a long while. It may take, 12 to 16 years to see a real change back to a progressive society. But we have to work hard to see that happen. We've got to move toward green energy. Got to move toward green energy. We've got to move away from oil-based economy. Have to do that. There's no question that that has to happen. We've got to create racial harmony in our communities. Here in the South, you know, we see communities are still very split. One side of town is the black side of town. The other side of town is the white side of town. Invariably across the South. We still have to work on for our foreign relations. Hell, we have to work on our domestic relations. We need to shore up Social Security and do it in such a way that doesn't eliminate people's money by putting it into the stock market. We need to strengthen union rights across the United States. We need to put laws in place that guarantee the workers' rights to organize should they believe that that's what they need to do. We need to have a national health care plan so that those who are the most weak of us, who depend on the stronger of us, are able to survive, and not only to survive, but to live in relative peace and harmony. We absolutely need a national health care plan. We are beyond needing a national health care plan. We need to get the government to be able to negotiate for lower medical prescription prices like the VA does. You know, there's so much work to do. It will take a long time to undo the damage that this president and the one before him and the one before him and the one before him have done. We need to enact realistic trade policies that do not punish American workers. I could go on and on, probably for several days about what needs to change, but I'm just pointing out for the moment why there is work to do and how we can recreate this society we live in. I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to wrap up the show. It's good to be back with you again this afternoon. You listen to the Bruce Birch Radio Program right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Wanna get out of here. by James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Some dreams are universal. Dreams that inspire us. Multiple sclerosis is a devastating disease that changes lives forever. The National MS Society does more for people with MS than any organization in the world. But we can't do it alone. To get involved, visit us online at nationalmssociety.org. Or call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. This is why we're here. Because nobody dreams of having multiple sclerosis.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, where we try to get to the bottom of the insanity of the Bush administration, and we're still digging. We're still digging. Let's go over to the phone lines real quick. Our good friend Wayne from West Virginia is joining us on line one. Wayne, how are you doing this afternoon, my friend?
Good, brother. How are you doing, man? I haven't talked to you for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I figure you're probably working late, you know, trying to organize all those carpenters up there.
Well, you know, we're trying, and not just carpenters, man. We're trying to make people aware in every way possible. You know, that thing you ended with a list of what we have to do. I mean, well, you didn't say anything I disagree with. I'd certainly add to the trade policy thing, trade policy that also doesn't harm foreign workers either.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And raises their standard of living. But I haven't talked to you in that, and I was wondering, you know, how upset you were about Joe Lieberman losing.
I cried.
I literally cried.
Yes, I did, and then I burst into laughter.
Very good. I mean, you know.
I had a kapiba.
I'm going to tell you, you know, you said you ain't into predictions. You know me, I shoot off my big mouth. I'll say anything. That was the beginning of something very significant. That was very significant in itself, in my opinion.
I agree.
And, you know, it is going to change, because it's going to change a lot of the politicians that are running for office or have to run for office in a couple of years. People are going to finally start to wake up. I mean, you know, how long have 60% or 70% of the American people been against this war? And, like, all of a sudden, it looks like Democrats are waking up. And I think, I think you're going to see a great increase in awareness as to what's going on. I really do. I think people are going to start paying attention. And the DLC, I mean, man, that was great. What a punch in the face.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, absolutely they did. And I think, you know, it's like the DLC is Barry Goldwater Republicans, in my
opinion. Yeah, and listen, you know, when Jim Hightower said America doesn't need a third political party, but it could damn sure use a second one, he was talking about the DLC.
That's right.
That's who he was talking about. And, you know, because there's no difference. They get their money from the same corporations that fund Bush, only they don't get as much. You know, they're kind of like the Combs of Hannity and Combs or whatever that guy's name is.
Yeah, that Alan Combs guy, yeah, the pseudo-liberal, yeah.
Great. He must be, he's probably related to Lieberman. I don't know.
Well, you know, I don't know if you saw that Daily Show clip that they had of Alan reporting back to Sean Hannity in studio.
Oh, with
but,
the guy
right?
with the sign?
Yeah, the guy with the
yeah.
sign.
Yeah, I dug that.
It said, Hannity sucks what?
Ass. But see, at first... I interpreted it as, and I don't know, maybe I'm right, that Combs is Hannity's suck ass.
That's, well, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, Hannity gets on there and rips people apart, and Combs, he tries to act like he's the refined liberal who doesn't have to raise his voice. But you know what?
Listen.
The guys like him, they give the rest of us a bad name, you know?
Yeah, and the guy, I mean, I'm sorry, man, the guy became... a prostitute. I mean, how can you, if you're a progressive liberal or whatever he claims to be, even a Democrat, how can you sit next to that guy night after night and take that without reaching over there and punching him in the face?
I don't know.
God. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
You know, they give him enough money. Here's what you'll do. That's the way I see about it. I guess he's feeding his wife and kids, so I should shut up. But I don't have to respect him. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So.
I'm with you there. I think the other thing too, Wayne, that really got to me was this whole thing about the world, or not the world, but the war crime retroactive protection thing, that scheme that they're trying to cook up right now.
Yeah, I do, man. But see, you know, these are scared men. You know,
they are.
I mean, they're reading the same thing I'm reading. You know, there's going to be a great change coming, and you know, like Goofy told them CIA guys that came and saw him in Crawford, okay, you covered your ass, and that's what they're trying to do. You know, am I crazy or what? Say they pass that right now. Democrats get in control. They could reverse it, can they not?
I would hope so.
Well, I mean, it would seem to me if you're in control and you're the guys making the laws, you could change the law the last guy made. It would be the only right thing to do. You know.
Of course, and then old Georgie would veto it, and then it would go back to to the Democrats and see what kind of spine they've got then, right?
Exactly.
So
it's time to stand up, and the Democrats have to learn that. You know, there's nothing left to do. There's nothing left to do. It's time to take back this country. You know, it's time to turn the Democratic Party back into the party of the working people. Not a bunch of leadership council multimillionaires that they can't relate. They can't relate to working people. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well,
but,
and it's, you know, we got to turn it around. I think we're doing that. I think we're doing that, Wayne.
I think people we are too. I really do, Bruce. It's, well, we're going to find out here shortly.
And we will.
A few months away now. Couple, three.
We're working on it.
Huh?
I said we're working on it, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. AFL-CIO is putting out a... Well, I don't know. Did you read that report where even the unions have more political money than they've ever had before? Did you see that report?
I have not seen that report, but I don't doubt it.
Okay, and you know, and they're willing to spend it, and the AFL-CIO is setting up get out to vote centers and hiring people all over the country. I met with them last night, and you know, they are starting door to door tonight.
That's where it's got to go, Wayne.
Right? Tonight, not you know, Well, you know, not, we usually start after Labor Day. You know, well, we don't have time for that. Let's get started now. So there, and I think you're going to see, you know, even the groups that split off from the AFL-CIO in this Change to Win have agreed to work, you know, in conjunction with Get Out to Vote things.
Good.
And, you know, that's a very good sign. You know, people.
A house divided, as we found out the hard way, a house divided cannot stand, right?
No, it can't. No, it cannot, you know. I mean, you know, let's have a meeting and argue about it, but don't walk out the door.
That's what I tell people. I'm like, you want to fuss about being pro-abortion or pro or anti-abortion or whatever, you know, once we get power, then we can have the discussion. But until we get power, it's ridiculous to even have the conversation about that, you know. We got to get power back. Once we do that, then we can work out all the particulars on all the different things people want to get done.
Right, but but here's the thing, and I've said it before. If you take care of the working people, you will be absolutely amazed at the amount of problems that somehow seem to have fixed themselves because you took care of the working people. You know, even the abortion issue, if everybody in this country had a right to join a union, be in a union, and bargain collectively, I would say that you would see the abortion rate drop dramatically. Simply because people would be able to afford to raise children. They would have health care for their children. I don't know.
Yep.
And, you know, and it would address a lot of problems. The health care problem, well, the whole nine yards. The whole nine yards. So. Anyway, pal, I wanted to catch you, you know, and I just got in. So I'm saying,
I appreciate it. I definitely appreciate the call. I gotta close this thing out. So,